Well, good morning. It's a great and blessed morning here, December 9th, 2024. Hope you and your family are doing well. Had great services yesterday, and it was just a blessed time to be in the house of the Lord. You know, my due date was actually on this day, 1979, but I was actually born on January 1st, 1980, somewhat 3 weeks later. And that kind of reminds me of how God has the date of our birth planned, but he also has the date of our death planned. Job 14:5 says, "You have decided the length of our lives. You know how many months we will live, and we are not given a minute longer." Let me ask you a question here. If you could know the day that you were going to die, would it impact how you live for today here in the moment? I think it would for most people. However, I'm not so sure that people would choose Christ. I believe our hearts are so hardened naturally that unless God intervenes, we will die in our sins. We will die hardened, calloused, and unmoved. Think about it. Remember that Abraham spoke these words to the rich man in torment in Luke 16, 27-31. Here's what the Bible says. "Then he said, 'I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment.' Abraham said to him, 'They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them.' And he said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' But he said to him, 'If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rises from the dead.'" You know, Jesus told this story to his disciples, but he also told it to the Pharisees. And this story is believed to be no parable. It's believed by many scholars that it was an actual event or an actual account that took place at some point. And Jesus wanted these people that he was speaking to understand that the hardness of the human heart towards the Word of God was real. That hardness towards the revelation of God that he has sent forth in Jesus Christ was evident and real. So another question begs, I guess, how does this relate to knowing our day of death, since I did just talk about that? Well, I believe that the majority of people in society just don't want to hear what we are selling as believers. I mean, they don't want to hear the gospel. They don't want to receive the gospel. And they really don't want the Christ of the gospel. You know, some people just want the affections and the sentimentality of the church and of being in church. In fact, Richard Dawkins even expressed an interest in church, especially during the holiday seasons, and how, you know, he kind of liked that environment, if you will. And so if you know anything about Richard Dawkins, he is a militant atheist. He belittles Christians and religions vehemently, and is almost on this mission to disprove and ridicule faith. You know, people want to believe that there is enough good in them to create their own destiny apart from the reality of the Bible. Wouldn't you believe that's true? Well, it's like where the Bible says it's appointed once for men to die, and then the judgment. Society ignores all of that and replaces it with a mentality of do good, and you might find peace after death. Kind of reminded of that show me and my wife used to watch, Ghost Whisper, after we got married. So it was a long time ago. And one of the things, Jennifer Love Hewitt's character could speak with the dead, and her kind of mission was to lead them to the light, to lead them to everlasting peace. Really didn't matter what life they lived in this world. It's almost like they deserve to have peace after death, no matter if they were worshipers of Jesus or not. And I always thought that was a very confusing depiction of life after death, but it sold. Hollywood sells, doesn't it? But where the Bible says no one is righteous, no, not one, society dismisses all of that as hatred and bigotry and strives to make good out of bad. It seeks to really call bad good and good bad, and the Bible says woe to those that do that. There's an ever-growing majority of churches, I'm finding, that are filled with people of the same mentality. Sunday after Sunday, the pews are being filled with people who don't get it and don't want it. They don't want to try to figure it out. And week after week, the pews are filled with people who ignore the words of the Bible and exchange them for lies from the devil, where the devil kind of says, you're fine where you are. You don't need to listen to this rubbish. You don't need to partake in prayer. You don't need to partake in Bible study and grow in your faith. And you know, we do that in the churches, and we've done it for a long time. You know, we have a Bible study regiment. We have a sermon series. We have times of prayer and times of gathering for prayer. And it may be public prayer on the streets or the corners of our neighborhoods and communities, or it may be kind of a sequestered prayer, if you will, in the church walls where we pray for specific things. And some people seem to get tired of that. And the idea is you've got to change that structure in order to get people interested. And we can get sucked into that as ministers and as church leaders. We can get sucked into that and try to spend our days creating new ways to get people interested. But really, we've got to stop and look at the reality. You know, if we've got to create something other than what really is true, then we are getting ourselves in quicksand. Bible reading, studying to know what God has said, what God desires. That's how God leads us as believers. We should never stop doing that. I don't care what society and culture says. And when we get to this place where we get bored with praying, or we feel like we've got to stop praying because it doesn't work, we are in a dire situation. Prayer absolutely is necessary. And we are no longer reading the same Bible when we get away from those. I mean, we are not reading the same Bible. We have not been saved by the gospel. And I'm really fearful, if you will, for lack of a better word. I mean, I'm not afraid, but it just concerns me that as the church era progresses, we are going to be more about what works, pragmaticism, than what is necessary. And we have got to, as believers, continue to fight the good fight of the faith in studying the Word of God, in praying to the Lord, and in trying to do what God wants us to do in light of those things. The generation that we are seeing now, the time that we are seeing now, really, people are falling away. They are falling away from regular church attendance. They are falling away from meeting together to pray. They are falling away from worship on Sunday and making every excuse under the sun. And, you know, we kind of shake our heads sometimes because I think real deal wise Christians don't buy into that. They know it's an excuse. And we're seeing that more and more and more and more. I believe COVID kind of spurred that on and kind of hit the nitrous button, if you will, and really revealed the hearts of a lot of people. I mean, there's still a lot of people that are just not worshiping. But it really is troubling. But I think that those people that are the true church are going to prosper. They are going to carry on. They are going to continue. And God is going to bless their endeavors. So we really have to focus on that. So let me leave you with one final thought here. Knowing that our days are numbered can burden us or it can bless us. But being responsible with the days and with the time that we are given, friends, makes all of the difference. It's my own personal belief that seeing God will be the highlight of life after death. Those things that I count as dear right now will one day pale in comparison with beholding the glory of God in the presence of God. May we all hunger more, thirst more, and long more to see God face to face and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Hope you all have a blessed week. God bless.